It was one of those things that took the producer and I to that region 10 years ago, and we ended up living in Hanoi and working in Vietnam and traveling a lot to Laos. So it wasn't really, you know, a conscious decision to make a film. It was more about we lived in the region and then came to make a documentary there, which was Bomb Harvest. That really was a reaction to going to the country of Laos and finding out about its history and just going, my God, why don't we know about this country? So really it was sort of a reaction to living and working in that region. I think once you've been inside Laos for a while, that kind of post-war reality gets right into your gut.
During the filming in Laos and Thailand, was one location more difficult than the other?
I'd say definitely Laos. Thailand's got this really well-oiled film industry. So in terms of bringing on support crew and in terms of getting access to locations, whereas in Laos, because it's still a communist country, there's still censorship, still a lot of red tape. That was very difficult. But we did shoot the Rocket Festival, all that shot in Laos. All the landscape you see in the film is Laos.
What was it like to cast the film and communicate with your cast?
That's not easy. It took a long time to cast the film. And, you know, first of all, the producer and I did a lot of traveling around both Laos and the Laos-speaking area of Thailand. Then we worked with a casting agent, and eventually we found a little girl in a small drama group, sort of puppet drama group, on the outskirts of Vientiane, which is the capital of Laos. Finding her was, I think she just had a very, very strong sense of self. And for him, we'd been looking a very long time, and he waltzed through the door with all that attitude, and he'd been a street kid for a couple of years, so he'd learnt to survive in any way he could. So he was a great little wheeler dealer, great little talker. Anything he put his hands to, he could sort it out. So that aligned really well with the character of Arlo. So, you know, I was working through a translator, but then again, I've also been around the language for a good 10 years now. You're working with play, you're working with imagination, you're working very physically. I'm watching their eyes, I'm watching their body language, and you're trying to find truth on all those levels.
The Rocket Festival is certainly a key to the film. Are such rocket festivals common in other Southeast Asian countries?
You've got them in Thailand, but it's the Isan people in Thailand, many of whom are Lao heritage. But in Thailand, it's probably more of a formal event. You know, they're big rockets, but there's often sponsorship. It's a little bit more formal, whereas in Laos, it's still very Wild West. And you get many more rocket festivals in Laos. They happen all around the country, the end of dry season for the calling of the rain. It started off very much a necessity festival, an ancient Buddhist festival to bring rain. And now it's become this kind of this great irreverent party.
In addition to the fascinating narrative you put together in the movie, would you say there is really some underlying message?
Thematically, it's about, I guess, first world countries recognizing the impact they have on third world countries, not only in war but in industry. And then on a very personal level, I think the main message is that there's this country with incredible courage. I think the people of Laos are very courageous and very spirited people who have suffered greatly but who are trying to survive. And it is an underdog story, which is something I think we recognize all around the world.